Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School, wherein we are always attempting, through the Word of God, to communicate God our Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit, and the functions of that office. Now, we're obviously not going to explain all about the Father, or all about Jesus, the Son of God, or all the functions of the Holy Spirit in this session. But there's passages which gives the children of God an insight into their Father, into our Lord Jesus Christ, and into that which Jesus promised, His Holy Spirit, sometimes called the Comforter. Sometimes the translation is Holy Ghost. I've been spending time back in the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. It is mysterious at times, because some of the things that are spoken of can't be seen, yet at the same time, edifying. I want to go to the 15th chapter of John this morning, and let's just read for a while. Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That is, the Father is the one that's taking care of the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Probably a better translation than he purges it is he prunes it. I've got a lot of fruit trees in my backyard, and they're bearing fruit, but I had to prune one of them. And boy, the fruit that came after its pruning, they're about 13, 14 years old. It needed pruning. The first year that it was pruned, it didn't bring forth any fruit. But the next brought forth more fruit. Jesus goes on to say, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. The essence of Christianity, that God has placed us in Christ and has placed Christ in us. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, No more can you, except you abide in me. And Ephesians 3 tells us that Christ dwells in our heart by faith. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Oh, hear the words of Jesus Christ. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this, excuse me, this phrase of Jesus doesn't mean, you know, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, if ye shall ask what ye will. It's not, well, I will a Cadillac, Father, give me a Cadillac. That's not, it's talking about the words of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, that God, if we ask by the words of Jesus, it shall be done unto us. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. A disciple means a learner, a pupil. It means from, it means to learn in any way. It means to come to some understanding. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You know, I'd like to point this out. Jesus does not command us to like one another, but he does command us to love one another. Now, the word Jesus is speaking in the Greek, agape, agapao, I don't know that human nature can reach it, maybe stretch out and touch it once in a while, but this which Jesus is describing is really God's love, and it may come out in the stage of history time to time, just like God's Spirit will manifest itself time to time. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I want you to listen to this next line. I think it sets a lot of evangelical religious tradition on its ear, wherein, you know, working in the Bible Museum for years and years, I'm constantly assaulted by some of those who come and ask the question, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Listen to what Jesus says. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That is, sanctified you. We could also, synonym is, we have set you apart. I have set you apart, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, several times in these 16 verses that we have read, we encounter the same Greek word translated abide, abideth, abide, continue, abide, remain, remain. It's all the same word. It means to stay in a given place, in a state, a relation of expectancy. Continue, abide, dwell, endure, remain, stand, tarry, stay in that. Place where Jesus says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Jesus, the one who was the speaking agent of God when he created all things. It doesn't say he brought all things together. He created all things out of nothing. Now, for years, I was troubled by this word, or these words, bring forth fruit, shall bring forth much fruit, because I thought, and you know, hey, I'm still wearing shoe leather, I'm not walking on golden streets yet. So I'm entitled to be wrong once in a while. But these words troubled me because, quite frankly, I didn't understand them. And it says, you know, every branch in me, that is in Jesus, that beareth not fruit, he, the husbandman, God, taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes, that it may bring forth more fruit. Before we get to today's message, I want to go to a parable of Jesus. It's found in the 13th chapter of Luke. And it says, he spake also this parable. That is, Jesus spake this parable. And it says, without other, in all the Gospels, it says, and without a parable spake he not. That those who have ears to hear and eyes to see may understand and be saved. He puts it in a negative in another way. I spoke in parables so they wouldn't understand, so I wouldn't have to heal them or save them. Let's go to the parable. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. And he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth the ground? And he, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Y'all all know what the word dung means? Fertilize, you know where fertilize, I hope you all do know where fertilizer comes from. The kind before chemicals. And if it bear not fruit, well. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now, so Jesus is telling us in this 15th chapter of John that he is the vine, that we're the branches, that God is the husbandman, or in this case, the dresser of the parable. And how does fruit come? It comes from being dunged. I'm trying to stay nice here. It comes from being dunged. How does more fruit come? It comes from being pruned, cut back. But what fruit are we talking about? Well, we need to go to the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, wherein Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, prior to the 15th chapter is the 14th chapter where Jesus says he's going away, and when he goes away, he shall send the Comforter. This is part of the promise of God. We don't see him, but to the one, to the branches of the true vine, he has sent his Holy Spirit. And here is what it says: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, let's look at that which Paul, the apostle, tells us is that fruit that is brought forth from Jesus the vine, who promised to send his Spirit to us. And here's how the Spirit manifests itself. It's not in bearing much fruit. I've got a congregation of 800, or I've got a congregation of 8,000, or I've got a television audience of 80,000, or I've sold 1 million books. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. There's where I used to get confused. And I'm thanking God every day for the understanding, the better understanding of his word. The fruit, not fruits, fruit of the Spirit is love. Agapao, back to that word that Jesus uses when he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. Doesn't say like, it says love. It has to do with looking at a vessel and desiring that it not perish, that it might, I'm struggling here, that it might continue to live with you, that there is a willingness not to live without you. It's a tough one for human beings, folks. Not tough for God. He sends his love, and he sends his Spirit, and part of the fruit of that Spirit is that attitude. He says, joy. Now, I've oftentimes spoke here and said, you know, happiness, that's a feeling. It can come and go. It doesn't say love and happy. It says love and joy. Happiness is a feeling. It comes and goes. But joy, true joy, cometh with understanding. And once the understanding comes, it cannot be taken away. Fruit of the Spirit, peace. Irene. God, you come to an understanding that God, the husbandman, is not against you, but he pruneth you, and he dungs you. I wish I could say what I want to say. I'm going to say it. He spreads shit about you. Why? Because he desires fruit to come. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. In Romans 2, third verse, it says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shall escape the judgment of God? Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance?" And I've told you what this word repentance means. The Greek word is metanoia, and it means aftermind or a new mind. And we are new creatures in Christ. But let me give you a translation that I received from Gene Scott, because it's going to help us in other descriptions of this fruit of the Spirit. Gene's translation of this fourth verse: "Are you misinterpreting God's generosity, goodness, and patient mercy toward you as weakness on his part?" Oh, you know, thank God he's God, because, you know, if I were God, and I'm not, but you know what God puts up with on a daily basis, on a yearly basis, on century by century, to those, or from those who don't know him, from those he has hid himself from? And Paul asks this question: are you misinterpreting his long suffering? Are you misinterpreting his patient mercy toward you, toward me? All sinners that we are, long suffering, patient mercy. Gentleness. Gentleness. Not harshness. Gentleness. How does it come about? It comes about when you get a little gentleness. God prunes you because he wants more gentleness. Goodness. Now, this is an interesting one, because the same word here in Galatians 5:22 is the same word in Romans 2:4. Of his goodness. And I looked at probably over 20 translations of this verse. And virtually all English translations translate this word goodness. Moffat translates it generosity. Weymouth translates it benevolent. Gene translated it generosity. And when Paul describes the manifestation of the Spirit of God in us in the 8th and 9th chapters of 2 Corinthians, he's talking about giving. Therefore, I'm going this way. Goodness, it's generosity. It's benevolence. It's giving. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. God wants more faith. How does he get more faith? He prunes us. He puts us in a situation where faith gets stronger, where faith produces more faith. He spreads us, he puts us in shit, that more faith might come. Faith, as I've told you more times than I can count, is grabbing hold of the promises of God because God spoke them and his word is more real than anything that we might see, feel, or encounter. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, generosity, faith, meekness. Meekness. I'd have you know the etymology of this Greek word comes out of the ancient Greek language, and it has to do with the taming of wild stallions. And when you tame that stallion, you don't break its spirit, you cause it to come to an understanding that there is another one in control. The husbandman, the one that prunes the branches of the vine, Jesus, that it bring forth more fruit. And temperance, word has to do with self-control. Man, oh man, I'm 71 years old and I'm still in training. I do have the understanding, and attempt to yield through his spirit to the one who is control, who is in control, and have a little more self-control than I did when I was 15 or 20 or 35 or 50. Now over 70, a little more self-control. Some of the things that I wanted to do back then, quite frankly, I can't do that. Maybe old age is a kindness of God. But I know this, that the fruit of the Spirit is what God desires. And how does he get it? He gets it by pruning the branches. If they don't bear fruit, hey, let's, you know, don't even worry about it. Just go about whatever. And, you know, you heard how God treats the branch that bears no fruit. That's not who I'm talking to today. I'm talking to you, in whom Christ abides, and who abideth, and you abide in him. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be conformed to the word of God, and have the understanding that the way you get more fruit is by pruning. And the way you get more fruit is by dunging. Pruning. I don't feel good at the time, but it's designed for a purpose to bring forth much fruit. It don't smell very good at the time, but it's designed to bring forth more fruit. Love and joy. Peace. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are set together again with him. Long suffering. Don't rush to judgment. Be gentle. Be generous. Stay in faith. Understand in meekness the one who's in control. And a little self-control can go a long way. I love the Word of God. I love the understanding of that Word that God gives to his branches that they might bear more fruit. It's a long journey, folks, but there are signs along the way. One of them is the fruit of the Spirit of God, which he desires. Jesus chose you. You think for a moment that God can't get done what He said He wanted done. He chose you. If ye abide in me, Jesus said, and I in you, the same shall bring forth much fruit. And that's the God School for today.